All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, hour number three of our radio program. So we got a lot cooking in the NFL these days. Lamar Jackson, non-exclusive franchise tag. All of a sudden, none of these teams want Lamar. Collusion. Cough, cough. Because the NFL owners don't want to set precedent in back-to-back off seasons of Deshaun Watson getting $230 million fully guaranteed, and then Lamar Jackson getting $230 million fully guaranteed. You have Aaron Rodgers meeting with the Jets. They talked last night. Trey Wingo broke that story. And then the Jets quickly shot over to California to meet face-to-face with one Aaron Rodgers. So we are on Lamar watch. We're on Aaron Rodgers watch. And then the Giants also got the four-year deal done with Daniel Jones. And then they slapped the franchise tag non-exclusive on one Saquon Barkley. So let's do two things here. We'll talk a little Lamar. We'll talk a little Rodgers. And Hickey, let me just throw a question out there. Do you find it at all a little bit bizarre with how much money that these owners are worth? And I know you pinch pennies from time to time here and there, and there's a, like baseball, the owners cry poverty, and it's an absolute joke. And you don't want to have something develop year after year after year. But it is a little bit odd to me with how much these owners are worth and how much they could also sell their teams for, that almost all these owners, for now, are falling in line with, we don't want to pursue Lamar Jackson, pretty much in saying we don't want to give him the fully guaranteed deal, if that is in fact what Lamar Jackson is asking for. Like, that's the part to me. I think Lamar is asking for a fully guaranteed deal. There's been reports out there, but then there's been other reports coming from Lamar Jackson camp that Stephen A. Smith said last week that that is not true. He's never asked for a fully guaranteed deal. But if I'm a team that needs a quarterback, Panthers, Raiders, Commanders, Falcons, and look at the Panthers, how many quarterbacks they've swung and missed since Cam. The Falcons, I know they had Matt Ryan, but since then, you're nowhere close to finding your next guy. The Commanders, they were throwing a party for Carson bleeping Wentz last year, which was a joke. The Raiders, their best quarterback recently was Derek Carr, but he was never viewed as this great quarterback. If I'm one of those owners, I don't care what the price tag is. I don't care if I'm not popular with the other owners. I'm trying to win. I have all the, most of these owners, you know, maybe outside of Mark Davis, they have all the money in the world. Like Daniel Snyder, if the Commanders sell, and the Commanders in this awful spot right now, in this decrepit state, they could go for what, like $7 billion? To me, what is $230 million fully guaranteed actually mean to you? Like, we look at it and we go, ho, that's big money. Now, we don't know the specific breakdown of the Daniel Jones contract, but Daniel Jones has got $40 million a year. So I look at Lamar, if that's what it takes, 230 over, let's say, 5 years, $46 million a year. I know you got to manage the salary cap and all that stuff, but there's ways to work around that, obviously. If I was an owner and I had all those billions, I wouldn't care about fully guaranteeing $230 million. To a guy, if you believe in the guy. Like, if you have questions about Lamar, I can't convince you it doesn't make sense. But if you need a quarterback and you fully believe in him, what's $220, $230 million fully guaranteed to you? And even if it's not $230, let's just say it's $200 million, and the Ravens won't match that. What is that to you? I would do it if I'm one of these teams.
We'll say I would get the hesitation of not wanting to give him a fully guaranteed deal because the last 2 years he's missed 5 games and 6 games respectively. So I don't understand.
Fair.
You don't want to give all that money up. And again, when it's fully guaranteed, it's almost impossible to get out of if things go south. You don't want to give all that money up for someone who may or may not be on the field, especially at the end of the year. He's had a propensity now to miss the biggest games of the Ravens season. I would get that perspective. But at the same time, you have last year 4 teams with all the civil stuff hanging over Deshaun Watson's head in a bidding war for Deshaun Watson, and the Browns, at the end of the day, gave him a fully guaranteed deal and gave him 3 first-round picks. I have a hard time looking at Lamar Jackson. I know injury issues are a concern, but off the field, there's no concern. Like you said, he has an MVP where Deshaun Watson is not, and everyone right away saying, no thanks. I think it's easy today for these owners to rally together and say, I'm with you, Steve Bisciotti. We're all in the same boat. We are not, you know, we're going to set the precedent here that that one Deshaun Watson deal was an outlier and we're not going to have it happen again. But again, come 2 weeks from now, come the draft, come after the Monday after the draft, if you're a team like the Panthers, and you mentioned before, if they're sitting there at 9 and all we've heard out of the combine is the Panthers are going to be super aggressive in terms of trying to trade up to get a quarterback. Let's say they can't. Or let's say that the one or two quarterbacks they have and they love the most are gone right away and they can't get them. Well, now you're telling me if David Tepper sitting there on Monday after the draft saying, oh, Lamar's out there, but screw it. I want to, you know, don't want to offend anyone else. I'm not going to give Lamar the contract that no one else wants to do. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if. And I think it's going to take past the draft for an owner to then really kind of zone in and go after Lamar.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. The Browns gave Deshaun Watson $230 million over 5 years, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed, obviously. If the Falcons or the Panthers won the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, or won the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes a year ago, what would the contract have been?
Probably not fully guaranteed.
If it wasn't fully guaranteed, but what would be the guaranteed money, you'd think? Like $180? $190?
Right? Maybe. I mean, I honestly don't know. Because you had the Russell Wilson deal after that. You had the Kyler Murray deal after that. So there was no precedent in terms of like what they got. You got to over, you know, match them. To that point, the contracts didn't happen yet. 150 maybe? Again, there's also, I know, we know they were okay with having him as a quarterback. I just don't know how much they're okay with giving him all the money after everything that happened off the field. Maybe that was part of the hang-up, and that's the reason why the Browns were able to swoop on in and get him. They're easily, obviously, want to give him way more guaranteed money than anyone else.
Now, sometimes you think you understand these contracts. I'm just giving you numbers that I have right in front of me. Watson, fully guaranteed, $230. Kyler Murray, fully guaranteed, $189.5. Russell Wilson, $165. Aaron Rodgers, $150.8. Josh Allen, $150. Mahomes, who contract continues to just look like a steal. It shows you why it benefits to get the deal done sooner rather than later, $141.5. But those three recent deals were Russell Wilson, $165, Murray, $189.5, and Deshaun Watson, $230 million. So let's just say if you do $230 plus $189.5 plus $165, and you divide it by three, that's $194 million. So let's just say it would be $190 million fully guaranteed. And maybe that's not the way that it would go. If you do 230 minus 190, we're talking about a difference of $40 million. At that rate, what does it mean to an NFL owner? So if you want to, like, I don't know for sure if he would get 180, 190 fully guaranteed, but if those teams, for Deshaun Watson, with all that was hanging over his head, and Deshaun not having unanimous NFL MVP, if let's just say they were willing to give $180 or $190 fully guaranteed, what's like an extra $40, $50 million here? And it may not even be that much, because if this is the stance from the start, we're not interested, and Lamar kind of gets it and says, okay, then I'm not getting a fully guaranteed deal. If Kyler Murray just got $189.5, wouldn't you think bare minimum in terms of the fully guaranteed world that now he has to get at least $190 guaranteed? So is this really, if let's say he gets 230 over five, is this fight over $40 million? Like, it's stupid to me, right?
I would guess the fight is over more the precedent than the money.
You're right on that.
That, I think, is I don't think it's the $40 million as much as we don't want to, because then again, that opens the floodgates for the Chargers and the Bengals now with their quarterbacks, put pressure on their owners to get their quarterbacks. I mean, I agree. I'm just trying to tell you from, if it's like, if this is truly collusion, which it obviously appears to be, when five teams in the span of an hour are all reaching out saying, we're not interested, we're not interested.
All who don't have answers at quarterback.
Right.
All maybe teams outside the Dolphins, but there's still a question with Tua, because we just don't know how long he's going to be able to last in the NFL. So take the Dolphins out of it. But these other teams, Commanders, we're not interested in Lamar. Falcons, we're not interested in Lamar. Raiders, we're not interested in Lamar. Panthers, we're not interested in Lamar. Okay. You guys want to go draft a quarterback? Be my guest. It could work. You're going to go trade for a quarterback? You guys lining up to go get Rodgers? I don't see him that way. You're going to go sign Jimmy G? Like, what are you going to give Jimmy G? What is Jimmy G getting? If you just saw Carr, I know it's not exact, but 37 and a half?
I think it was 35 a year. He's like 150.
Okay. And Daniel Jones just got 40?
Four for 160.
Yeah, like, what does Jimmy G then get? I don't think there's a big market for him. It's probably in a shorter deal. Geno Smith just got a $105 over three. Is Jimmy G getting a $105 over three?
I would definitely say it's closer to that than the Daniel Jones contract.
I would agree, but therefore I'd rather have Lamar than what you would have to give Jimmy. If it's giving Lamar $45 million a year compared to $35 million a year to Jimmy G, it's a no-brainer to me. I spend the extra $10 million a year, regardless of what the fully guarantees are. Now, if you want to tell me the injury concerns is why they're not giving him the deal, fine, but we've seen a lot of quarterbacks that get injured, that get traded, and go to other places, and they give him another chance hoping that that quarterback can be healthy. We've seen that time in and time again in the NFL, and there's usually one, and there will eventually be one, that breaks away from the pack and takes the dirty looks and the pushback from some of the owners that will maybe not give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal. Maybe they will. Look, the Browns just did it last year with Deshaun Watson. But give him enough guaranteed money that makes the Ravens go, okay, we're not comfortable giving that number. And that's the other thing. If you're one of these teams that end up getting interested in Lamar, you have to give a deal that you know the Ravens are going to say no to. And Steve Bisciotti has made it clear he's not giving him a fully guaranteed deal. So if that's the precedent, if I'm one of these teams, let me ask you this, Hickey. Do you think Lamar would take, now it's only $40 million a year, but if I gave him $200 million fully guaranteed over 5 years, you think he takes that? It's only $40 million a year, but it's fully guaranteed. Do you think he would take that?
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Probably.
So, and you could even up the price to get it to 230 over five, let's just say. And then that's $46 million a year. But if you only fully guarantee $200 million, do you think the Ravens answer that? Do you think they respond to that with the yes that we'll give them that?
No.
So they want to do it at $200 million. So you have to go to the fully guaranteed rate. Come on, guys. I would like to see David Tepper not get involved in Lamar Jackson. I'll believe that when I see it. Arthur Blank, too. And I love to see these owners justify why now all of a sudden they're not interested in Lamar Jackson when a lot of these owners were just interested in Deshaun Watson. Like, if we get any owner on today that we would think would be interested in Lamar that's saying they're not, I would love to talk to David Tepper and Arthur Blank and just simply ask him this. You were interested in Deshaun Watson last year. With all that was pending with him, why aren't you interested in Lamar Jackson? And Hickey, I would love to see the way that these owners try to weasel themselves out of that answer.
I don't know if they'd have an answer.
It'd
again,
be
that's
verbal diarrhea.
It would not go, I don't think it would go well for them. And again, I don't even know if their answer right now of not being interested is even going to stick in a month from now.
Yeah, I threw my Sharpie. I don't know why. I'm writing with a Sharpie today. I was so animated during that I threw the Sharpie during that segment. So don't sit next anywhere close to me. You're lucky that there's glass separating us.
I was going to say, good thing it's double pane, so I am safe and going to avoid some blue Sharpie on my shirt.
And also our poll question today has to do with Aaron Rodgers. If the Jets do land Aaron Rodgers, what are your expectations for the Jets for this upcoming season, just knowing that they have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback? Be in the Super Bowl, win the AFC East, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs. Those are the options. Here are the returns right now. 20% be in the Super Bowl, 24% win, or excuse me. Wow, we've had some changes in this poll question. 20% tied, be in the Super Bowl, miss the playoffs. 24% win the AFC East and 36% be a wild card team. You can get in on that poll question. We'll talk about it later at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Give us a follow also at CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. Greg Allman will join us on the other side as he'll do a little QB carousel featuring the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, Brady in retirement for now. We'll see who's playing quarterback for the Bucs in 2023. Greg Allman has covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since 2013, and he now covers the NFC South, the Bucs, Falcons, Panthers, and Saints for Fox Sports, and he joins us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Greg, appreciate you doing this. How you been?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So, when we go back to Brady retiring, I know it's been spun now as it was either go back to Tampa or enter retirement. It felt like, though, all throughout the year it was leave Tampa Bay and play somewhere else. What's the real truth on the Brady decision-making process from your understanding?
This year's or last year's?
This year.
This year's. No, I think he's done, honestly. I mean, I think, you know, the idea that he, didn't do what the Bucs kind of were hoping he might do in terms of waiting and processing it as a June retirement to get some cap help. The fact that he didn't do that definitely gives him the flexibility to listen to people in March that he wouldn't have had if he had done that. But I think he's done. I think it's one of those where, you know, he's already done this once, come back once. And I totally get that come August, when it's the first time he's not in camp and not going through a season, it's going to be hard for him. But I do think he's done this once already. Last year was a long year for him. And even if it were an ideal situation and a playoff-ready team that lost a quarterback unexpectedly or something like that, right now I feel like he's done. He could certainly prove me wrong here, but I think he's done.
Well, the two that come to mind and pop up, you know, in season would be Miami or would be the 49ers. And we know both their quarterbacks, right, Lance and Purdy, and then also Tua Tagovailoa, unfortunately, have suffered some injuries in their career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's there. You can see how that could pop up, and you see why it would be tempting. It's going to be something that pops up anytime a major quarterback gets hurt this season. People are going to wonder. Rich Eisen was talking about Phillip Rivers trying to call and jump in at the last minute there. And obviously, Brady's at a different level than Phillip Rivers is post-retirement. But, it's he's going to have the competitive drive. You know he's going to keep himself in shape. It's just a matter of, you know, being able to stay away, which is not going to be easy for him.
We know Greg Allman, he made the decision to retire, but was the decision-making process the Bucs returning or then going to retirement, or would he have considered other teams, you think, if he wanted to play?
I guess I can't say that with any authority. I mean, I think there were people that said when he stepped away that it was just Bucs or done, and that there weren't other things in play. And the only thing I would tell you is that I think seeing some of these other longtime quarterbacks that go elsewhere and it doesn't go well, to see Matt Ryan in Indy, to see the year Russell Wilson had in Denver, is a reminder that these second chapters at the end of a career aren't a given and aren't necessarily going to lead to a Super Bowl the way his happened to here in Tampa. So I just think he's aware of the risk of going out the way you don't want to. And that, I mean, this year was probably that to some extent, even though we went to the playoffs and won a division, to have a losing record, to fall short of expectations is not the way he wants to go out. But it could be worse than that, even this year was for him.
Do you fully expect Kyle Trask to be the day one, week one starter for Tampa Bay coming up this fall?
I don't know yet. I'll be curious to see what they're willing to spend on a veteran quarterback to kind of challenge him. Part of the problem is that now there's a new offensive coordinator. So Kyle Trask is, instead of being entrenched in the same offense for 2 years, he's a rookie all over again in terms of learning what Dave Canales wants to do. I don't think they're going to spend a lot on a veteran quarterback. I think it'll be an underwhelming veteran who's been a starter before. That could be literally as little as like Drew Locke, who had a year in Canales' offense and was a backup in Seattle. You know, it could be one of these kind of middle tier, you know, Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett types, which would be a little bit more real competition for Kyle Trask. You know, I think he'll definitely, you know, the way they're talking right now, they definitely want to give him a chance to compete for the starting job, to be able to work with starters instead of just working with backups as he has the last 2 years, and show what he can do and show how he's progressed here in these 2 years.
Do you think they'll pursue Jimmy G?
It seems a little bit on the high end of what they can afford, honestly. You know, it's like if they cleared enough cap, if they really, you know, let other people go defensively, they can certainly afford him. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is one of those guys that's a little harder to read what exactly he'll make. You know, is he a $20 million quarterback? Is he a $15 million quarterback? I don't quite know what his market is compared to some of these other underwhelming second-tier type options below him. So I don't know. He would be at the very kind of very most ambitious they would probably be in a position to afford.
Is that just why they haven't made a run at Rodgers? I know the Packers, it seems like they don't have any willingness to trade him inside the NFC, but I remember, you know, like a month ago, people were like, oh, if Brady retires, or Brady did retire, maybe Rodgers goes to Tampa.
It's just a substantial salary. He's got like a $58 million bonus. They're the worst cap-strapped team in the NFL right now. They're still $40 million over the cap. So to think that they could, I mean, I'm sure he would.
Could always find the way, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those.
Salary cap is so fugazi these days.
Right? Yeah, even by those standards, I think it'd be tough to pull off.
Greg Allman here with us. So you cover the entire NFC South. It's bizarre to me that the Falcons and Panthers were both interested in Deshaun Watson a year ago, and now all of a sudden all these teams coming out today when Lamar gets hit with the non-exclusive franchise tag and go, yeah, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and I can't tell whether that's just the idea of having to commit $200 million to a quarterback is daunting, and I totally get what you're saying about Deshaun Watson, that it seems almost like a double standard. But, yeah, I mean, the Falcons, you know, don't have a quarterback, and they have the cap space to pull it off. So I understand why people would talk about them as an option for him and as a potential match. I for whatever reason, I think they're okay not making such a massive you know, leap it is to take a quarterback like that and bring him in and put your whole franchise on one person like that.
I know we throw the word around collusion very just easily, and there's probably no way to prove that this is going on, but it seems like the owners are just saying, we don't want to give back-to-back years in free agency to quarterbacks or via a trade market fully guaranteed deals, because for the owners, it sets up for what they view as a dangerous precedent.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that it's not only the precedent for quarterbacks, but, I mean, if you give a guy who's not on your team a four-year fully guaranteed contract, when your best free agent comes up in another position, they're going to want the same. They're going to have a legit reason to ask for the same. So I just think, you know, Lamar Jackson's missed 10 games due to injury, so I get why there's a hesitation to guarantee too much to somebody who plays the game in a way that puts himself, you know, vulnerable to hits, vulnerable to injuries. You know, it's tricky because, I mean, it's a former MVP who's available, and you don't want to say available at a reasonable price, but, I mean, players of his caliber don't really hit the open market very often, and he's not really on the open market. It's one of those where no matter what is offered to him, you know, the Ravens are going to have a chance to match. So what happens then is you do like the Falcons did last year. You get people excited about the chance to get a big quarterback, and then you fall short and you don't have him. And now, you know, you have to move on from the guy who knows he was about to be replaced. So it can kind of backfire if you go all in on somebody and then they get a matching contract and you have nothing to show for it.
Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports, is here with us at the QB Carousel. Just one more before we get back to specifically the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I look at this division. The Saints right now have to be the favorite after getting Derek Carr. We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be for the other three teams. But I look at the Panthers. I think they have the best roster right now in this division, and I just can't wait to see what they do. And I'll believe that they're not going to be in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes when the offseason comes and goes, but there's a lot of momentum of them moving up in the draft. That immediate quarterback scenario for the Panthers is fascinating because I do think they could win the division if they address it properly.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the only thing they're missing right now. I mean, I think they have a lot of positive momentum with Frank Reich, with hiring a star-studded cast of assistants to go with him. You know, they got a couple free agents they got to take care of in terms of Deontay Freeman and Bradley Bozeman and some of those types. But Yeah, I mean, it'll be exciting to think what they can do. I don't necessarily see them staying put at nine, because I think, at least with the momentum of the top tier quarterbacks right now, nine might not even get you the fourth best quarterback right now. So, you know, the extra picks they got in the McCaffrey deal last year certainly put them in a position to, you know, move up to four, move up to five, maybe get ahead of some of the other teams. I mean, four might be the third quarterback right now, so that's still tricky. But, you know, I think they recognize, you know, you have an offensive-minded coach, you have a new offensive staff. You know, McCown is somebody who, you know, I think would be a good guy to develop a young quarterback. So it's definitely exciting as they rebrand this franchise with a new coach to also be able to do the same thing with a young quarterback like this.
So I don't know what we could expect from Tampa this year if they are starting Kyle Trask or another one of those middle-of-the-road type of quarterbacks. How much patience do you think the Glazer family will have with Todd Bowles if this year is like a six-win season for Tampa Bay?
Yeah, and that's a good question, and I don't know whether he would go into this year with any kind of understanding from ownership. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I think they knew post-Brady they would kind of have to take some lumps just because they did so much to borrow from future seasons to finance the run they made the last 3 years. So I think they know that they're a little bit handicapped that way. They don't have the full measure of a full salary cap or just the ability to spend and address needs the way they have the last 3 years. So, yeah, it is setting them up for a step back. I think they still want to be very competitive in this division. I think even with Derek Carr, even with the excitement in Carolina, I think this is still a division that's fairly up for grabs. They're definitely not going to be as talented a team in Tampa, especially defensively. They won't be able to keep nearly what they want in terms of the free agents next week that are going to be leaving and going elsewhere. So I don't know how many games Bowles has to win for him to be safe, but I would think the ownership here would understand the context of this season and kind of the limitations they're under.
Two more things that I want to get your thoughts on the Bucs, Greg Allman. Byron Leftwich, how much do you think the criticism he got and ultimately lost his job is justified that he received this past year?
A fair amount. I mean, it's one of those where, I mean, they took a massive step backwards. I mean, to still have Tom Brady, to still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they got dinged on the offensive line. But, I mean, they were 14 points a game worse. I mean, the single biggest offensive drop-off from year to year of any team since, I think, 1971. And really never solved things. I mean, they you know, had the worst running game in the NFL in yards per game, in yards per carry, struggled in a lot of key situations. You know, and I don't think Leftwich probably helped himself in terms of how he answered questions or took criticism about the offense to where, you know, once they moved on, there's not a lot of people upset that he's gone. A lot of people had questioned that. The fact that he hasn't taken another job, you know, a year ago, you know, he's sitting there almost getting the Jaguars head coaching job. So it's kind of a tough turn for him in the last year to have the offense go as badly as it did with Brady still there. And now to have him, you know, kind of on the outside looking in, I'm sure he'll land another coaching job. He's still young. He's younger than Brady. But this didn't go the way he wanted it to this past season, for sure.
It honestly reminds me a lot like John DeFilippo. Because when he was in Philadelphia, people were like, oh, he's going to go get a head coaching job one day. And I don't even know where John – I think John DeFilippo may be in the XFL right now. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know.
The XFL New Orleans maybe?
I think you're right. I think he's the head coach there. And it's just, like, crazy how quickly a guy can go from getting a head coaching job to then pretty much getting kicked out of the NFL or not even getting considered for one of those jobs again.
Right. Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, it's one of those where, you know, Leftwich hasn't been coaching that long. He's only been coaching about 6 years. So he doesn't have quite the you know, the background that some of these coaches have, but he's only 42 years old. Even if he takes this year off, he'll be able to come back and kind of reset himself. You know, that's the same offense that was getting 30 points a game in 2020 and 2021, and a big part of why they were in a position to win a Super Bowl 2 years ago. So that hasn't changed.
Last thing I'll ask you, the Brady-Arians relationship, what is the truth there on why Arians walked away a year ago?
Oh, I think it's overblown. I think it looks odd in retrospect now, but I think, you know, what he said in terms of wanting to be able to hand a team over to Todd Bowles with a chance to win as opposed to waiting until after Brady, it kind of backfired in that he gave him a team with the expectation of winning. They fell short of it, so it certainly didn't have the desired outcome. But to see Bruce now, I mean, I talked to him in Arizona at the Super Bowl. You know, I think he feels like, you know, he kind of got a practice year at retirement this past year. I mean, that he was in a consulting role. He was around the team, but he's able to pull back now and be less involved and probably won't be around the team on a day-to-day basis this fall the way he was. So I think, you know, he thought about how, you know, that interim coaching year he had in Indy, he kind of got a practice year to be a head coach, and now he kind of has had a practice year in retirement. So I think you'll see him take a step back. But I don't think it was nearly the fractured relationship that some people made it out to be.
Greg Allman does a great job covering the NFC South for Fox Sports. Appreciate you jumping on board today for a few minutes, Greg.
Oh, no problem. You guys have a good night. Take care.
You got it. There's Greg Allman joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We will come on back. We will react to a little bit of the Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley resolution with the Giants and also give you our thoughts on the poll question. Back in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So we were wondering yesterday how the Giants situation was going to play out. And I do think, from my understanding, it was stressful. At times, it was a brutal process. And it literally came right down to the wire. Because there was 10 minutes to go, and there was no news out there about Daniel Jones. And I was thinking to myself, okay, this deal's not going to get done. But you got to remember, it seemed like at the end, they had to be somewhere close because they wouldn't have met today if these sides were nowhere close. And ultimately, and I know there's a lot of specifics that have come out, but it was reported as $160 million over 4 years. So you get the $40 million a year for Daniel Jones. And then I've seen that it's like $82 million, I believe, over the first 2 years. Did I get that right, Hickey? On the con, was it $92 million over the first 2 years?
$82 million over the first 2 years, yeah. Guaranteed.
And then there's other things that come out, and then there's like, what, $35 or $36 million potentially in incentives on top of the 160. So these contracts, really, right when you think you understand the salary cap, you don't. And there's so many other ways where it's a reported originally that it's not. I always go back to Derek Carr last year. Oh, he got an extension, then it comes out the next day. Yeah, he's actually not in their long-term plans because they so easily could get out of it, and we ended up seeing that play out right in front of our eyes this year. But ultimately, the Giants needed to get Daniel Jones done on a contract today instead of a franchise tag, because then if they had to use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones, then Saquon Barkley would have been as good as gone. Now you get the Jones deal done. I guess you could say, even though it's a 4-year deal, it's really more so like a 2-year deal, it feels like. And then if he stinks and bottoms out the next 2 years, you could easily get rid of him. But then if he continues to improve like he did this past year for the first time in his career, you may end up looking at the Jones deal in like 3 years from now as potentially as like a bargain at $40 million a year. And who knows what it actually is per year with the way that this all gets reported. So ultimately, whether you believe in Jones or not, the way I view Jones is he showed you enough this year, regardless of what the stats say in terms of the passing touchdowns. When you watched him, with really nothing around him, he showed you enough that he could be a competent quarterback in this league. And he left me not knowing if he could be great, not knowing how high the ceiling is, but I wanted to see Daniel Jones with some other legit talent around him, outside of Saquon Barkley. I'm talking about pass catchers, receivers. So getting Jones done right now your attention gets turned to working on a long-term deal with Saquon, but at bare minimum, you have Saquon Barkley on a tag, and he will probably be in New York next year because I don't think it's really worth to go the Le'Veon Bell way where you sit out a year and then you eventually cash in on your long-term deal. Now, technically, a team could give up a contract to Jones, to Barkley, and Barkley go back to the Giants. They can match it or not, but if they don't match it, they get 2 first-round picks. Hickey, I would be shocked if any team in the league at this stage would pay Barkley and then also give up 2 first-round picks to get him.
No chance.
Especially with the way that we value or devalue the running back position. Where you look at teams like Kansas City, running back by committee. New England, when they won Super Bowls, running back by committee. The Eagles, when they won a Super Bowl, running back by committee. Now, even the Rams, it's been running back by committee. When they won the Super Bowl, 2 years ago. Like, who was the last bell cow back to win a Super Bowl? Was probably, what, Marshawn? And we're going all the way back to Broncos and Seahawks in that Super Bowl? So you don't need a bell cow back, but if you're a team like Buffalo, you would have wanted Saquon on the open market. If you're a team like the Eagles, you know, even in division, you would want him on the open market, but now he's not going to be there on the open market. So that, to me, was the important part. And maybe a year from now, they don't get the deal done with Saquon. They may get the deal done in the next few days or in this offseason. But at least you have him on the tag. I'm just wondering, do you think there would even be a team that would even run that risk of agreeing to the deal with Saquon and then thinking, okay, the Giants will just accept it, but then there is a chance that they don't accept it, they just take the two first-round picks. Like, I would think, even as much as the Giants like Saquon Barkley, they've made it clear there's a price that they're willing to go, and there's a limit there. I would think if you shoot Joe Shane up with True Serum, that if any team, regardless of what the contract is, agrees to terms with Saquon, that they would just reject it and get the two first-round picks back for him.
Oh, without a doubt. If someone's willing to give you two first-round picks for Saquon Barkley, you are taking that in a heartbeat. You're going to draft Bijan Robinson, draft another running back. I like Saquon as a Penn Stater myself, but we've seen so many success stories of running backs in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds that it makes no sense to turn down two first-round picks for a guy, like you mentioned, has been injured, is at a position that is being devalued in terms of money, and you are given basically free premium draft capital that you could use to maybe get your franchise quarterback one day if Daniel Jones doesn't work out, or get him maybe that, you know, his stud receiver that he's missing. You can use those two picks in different ways to make your team better than just holding on to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I think all this does today is make sure that Daniel Jones is your quarterback for the next 2 years and Saquon Barkley's on the roster for next season. And if you're a Giant fan, that's what you wanted. Like yesterday, that was the conversation. You wanted Jones on the roster next year, and you wanted Barkley on the roster next year. And now you got to figure out who's the wide receiver that you could go add that gives you a legit number one wide receiver to see if Daniel Jones could continue to ascend, kind of like what Allen did with Brian Daboll, that Josh Allen, who was solid, but it was never, you know, was inconsistent, and there was some thought that he was going to be a bust, but the moment he got Stephon Diggs, give Allen credit because Diggs then turned into a legit number one wide receiver instead of one of those in-betweeners that he was like in Minnesota, like a one or a two. So you got to give Allen some credit, but you didn't see Josh Allen's career really take off until he got a legit wide receiver in there, and Daniel Jones just didn't have a legit wide receiver last year there.
And you get a contract where you have flexibility. He's only getting about $19 million against the cap this upcoming year, so you have room if you want to get a receiver, and also you have an out if he does not develop, if he does not get to the level where you feel like he is truly the guy. You have an out in 2 years where you can move off of him pretty easily and still maintain flexibility to try to find the next guy for your team going forward. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, and it was also bizarre to me, and I know Elliot Shore Parks very well, ESP, and I worked with him a lot when I was in Philadelphia. Great dude, very entertaining guy. But today, like, he was, before this deal even came on out, it was like, oh, the Giants have botched this. I don't see how the Giants botched this. Yeah, you had to give Jones the deal. They ended up getting the deal done with Jones. And for Saquon, now he's on the tag. So I know that Elliot didn't have that information when it came out, but it didn't make sense to me today, Hickey, where people are taking shots at Joe Shane. Joe Shane ended up getting the job done and didn't really affect the Giants long term, and still, I know that expectations increase when you make the playoffs this year and you win a playoff game, but the Giants are ahead of where they probably should be at because of the crazy success and the success that no one could have saw coming this year.
Everyone looks at 4 years, 160. Everyone looks at $40 million per year and laughs. Is Daniel Jones worth $40 million a year? Absolutely not. But here's the only thing you have to look at. Guaranteed money. That's the only thing that matters in any of these contracts going forward. How much is guaranteed? How much can you get out of? And that's when, yes, when you look on the surface, 4 years, 160, it's easy to put and laugh at the Giants of, oh my God, I can't believe they made this mistake. When in reality, it's only a two-year deal for $82 million, and now you have a short-term opportunity to see if Daniel Jones can develop. If not, you move off him almost kind of no harm, no foul. That's all that matters, and that's why this deal actually works out. When you actually get in the details, and you realize, oh, it's not a four-year 160 deal. It's really almost a two-for-82 kind of deal.
And I really do wonder how we're talking about Geno Smith and Daniel Jones next year, because that's still crazy to me. Whether how much the numbers are true or not and the inner lookings of the number, Geno got 105 over 3 and Daniel Jones got 160 over 4. And let's see how much they can repeat their success next year.
Who do you think will be better, Jones or Geno, in 2023?
Right now, without knowing who the Giants are going to add at wide receiver, I would say that Geno Smith is set up better to succeed next year as the Giants play in a tougher division. And you look at Geno Smith, he has Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. I think he's set up better for success. Why, you think it's Jones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't trust Geno at all. I think Daniel Jones, even with a lesser crew, will have a better year next year.
Okay. If the Jets land Aaron Rodgers, what are your expectations for them? We'll answer that next. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.